This week on the Koshcast, Conte bans ketchup to avoid a dip in form, while Costa and Batshuayi find each other complimentary. Arsene still gives his players few specific instructions, but gets one in particular from Arsenal fans. United's Zlatan Southampton's hides and leave them up the river despite the best efforts of Van Dijk. And Liverpool share an experience with Hillary Clinton and feel the Burnley. Elsewhere, we've got news from Italy where De Boer makes a pig's ear of his debut as Inter manager, Roma batter Udinese, and Higuain somehow lifts himself off the bench to score the winner for Juve. La Liga, Toronto FC, Mumu of the Week, and Anton Quizman complete the set. Let's bounce. Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Koshcast this season. My name is Alex, and as you can hear, I've lost my voice, so I apologise for that. Fortunately, though, I've got two people here who do have voices. Rishe Rana, you have a voice.
Yes, I do, and here I am.
You're going to use it well?
Yeah, I'd use it as I always do.
Excellent. Bernie Uche, you also have a voice.
Yes, I do, and I don't always use it well.
Fair enough. How were your weekends?
Very good. I actually used my voice to make some new friends.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Who are your new friends?
Well, both Rishi and I, we made some new friends because we can't make friends separately.
It's tough as an adult.
It really is.
Yeah. Like,
it's strange.
You know, weird new people, don't talk to strangers, my mom always told me. But if you do want to make new friends in this city, one way to do that is to use the Open Sports app. So we like playing pickup football, and this is a great way to find people in the city with a common interest and find locations in order to do that. The great thing is there's already a large football community in Toronto that's using this app.
I'm on there, actually.
You are?
Yeah, I created a profile. It's really easy.
But you're everywhere, Alex. You're ubiquitous.
He is everywhere. And you know what? Pickup football is everywhere. You can use the app to browse local games. You can see what's on near you. Plan a game. Set up a profile, like Alex said. Post scores, actually, and get feedback on the game afterwards.
Yeah, like if you want to brag to your mates, you know.
Or if you just want some annoying coach guy. You know the guy who always thinks he's a coach that you're playing with
to harass
you and tell you what you need to do better?
Comes with the Adidas track pants as well.
I hate track pants. That's usually Mohamed, actually.
But he's got the, what's it called, the backwards strap?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Open Sports is available to download on both Android and iOS.
Yes, our new friends are very exciting people.
Indeed. You know what's also exciting? The quiz. Okay, if you didn't hear last week, the quiz, or this what will be called this week, Anton Quizman, is a new feature. Mohamed will generally be the host.
Was it Cristiano Ronaldo last week?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. Anton Quizman.
But Mohamed's not here, so I'm going to host it because I'm in the lead, because I won last week.
No need to remind us about that.
But that's not the reason
no,
why.
No, it is, because it's giving you a chance to catch up.
Oh, no. It's because Mohamed's not here.
Let's just get to the goddamn quiz. Yes. I'm behind him.
So,
Bernie wants some points.
Bernie, remind the listener how you join in. Excellent. Rishe?
That was easy.
Perfect. All right, first question. And remember, you can buzz in at any time.
All right.
Question one to two Manchester United fans. How many goals did Ruud van Nistelrooy score for Manchester United?
That was easy.
150.
Correct.
Damn it!
Oh, yeah. I had it! Over the
got
mic.
You!
Better be quick. One point to Rishe. Sandeep Rana.
Thank you for the full name.
And 219 appearances.
Decent striker, that.
Bernie's trying to show that he knows the appearances.
Alright, that wasn't the question. Next. This question is a who am I? I'm going to give you a set of clues, and when you can tell me who the player is, you tell me who the player is. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Started his career as a left back in Holland. Ended it as a centre back in Qatar. Also played in Spain, Scotland, and
Oh, great. Oh, crap. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Wait, no. I know who it is.
It'll come back around if Rishe can't get it.
Do I have to buzz in?
I can keep going with the questions.
Can you repeat what you said?
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. Yeah, I know who he is.
I know. I'm hosting this.
Graham Lasso.
Okay, he's done.
I should disqualify you for the rest of the season for that.
Wait, we're going to start again. Okay.
Both of you get your heads on straight.
Wait, but this is mine now, because he messed it up.
No, no, no. We go back to zero.
Yeah, oh my
no,
god.
Back to buzz in.
Right. Oh my god.
Freddy really wants his first point.
I'm starting again.
Mm-hmm.
I started. He started his career as a left back in Holland. He ended it as a centre back in Qatar. He also played in Spain, Scotland, and Turkey. Bernie.
He doesn't know.
Frank de Boer.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh. My next two clues were the first Dutch male footballer to reach 100 caps, and the one that would have given it away if neither of you could get it is has a twin brother.
That was my hesitation. Ronald or Frank.
Wow. So what are the scores now officially? It's Alex 2, Roche 2, Bernie 1.
Correct. But we've got one more question to go today. So, how many managers have Real Madrid had since 2006? Bonus point if you can name them. Doesn't have to be in order.
That was easy.
Roche.
7.
Incorrect.
Oh, wait, I know it's me. I don't have to shake this thing. 11.
Incorrect. I'm gonna give you both. Okay, you know what? I'll give you a little multiple choice. Mohamed's probably gonna be angry that I didn't give you multiple choice in the first place. Your choices are.
That was easy.
Ooh.
9.
Incorrect.
Can I have the multiple choice, please? Because now it's my turn since you messed it up.
6, 7, or 8.
Me. Don't even think about it.
I always
6, 7, or 8? The answer is 7.
The answer is not 7.
Oh my god!
Alright.
Let me answer it.
No. You can't answer it.
8.
I don't know what to do about this.
You can't answer it.
This is how the quiz works.
No, Alex already said you can't answer it.
I think I should get the point.
No. Yeah, Alex got the point.
No, he doesn't get the point.
The quiz is done for the quiz.
No, we have to have a new question. We have to have a new third question.
The quiz is over.
No, we have to have a third question. There's Alex does not get the point.
I'm not going to get the point, but neither are you. Quiz shambles over and done with. Onto the shambles that is the English Premier League.
Our shambles.
Quite the shambles.
The greatest shambles in the world.
Yeah. Absolute shambles.
And let's start with a team that isn't being shambolic at the moment, run by Jose Mourinho and his iron fist. It's Manchester United. And they defeated Southampton, a comfortable 2-0.
Yes, the annoying, prickly Southampton, who have won twice at Old Trafford in the last two seasons.
Finally ended that hoodoo.
Yeah, I know. Quite comfortably, actually.
Yeah, United looked really good. You guys must be excited.
Except for the first 20 minutes when Southampton seemed to be, you know, looking potent.
They had quite a few chances, and Pogba started a bit iffy. But as the game wore on, which seemed to be the same thing with Bournemouth, it was a little iffy at first, but as the game actually continued, Manchester United began to dominate.
Right, yeah, and I thought Pogba definitely grew into it. I think he looked pretty uncomfortable for a while, but as United got more of a foothold in the game, he seemed to express himself more.
I think the one thing was just Zlatan not really doing much except scoring, completely out-jumping Fonte and ruining him, almost swatting him like a mosquito.
And that's not easy. Fonte is a huge bloke.
Well, yeah. if we notice that there's one thing that I've watched, you know, Zlatan enough times, we all have. And you notice, he doesn't do very much in a game, except one fantastic, wonderful piece of incredible skill.
With incredible power.
Yes, and that goal was created by two things. A, I think Davis did not track Rooney at all. He let
it's fair
Rooney
enough.
Bobble around to the ball. Yeah, Rooney turned.
How do you not track
Rooney? Rooney looked at the ball, looked up, looked at where Zlatan was. There was...
He also
so
turned the wrong
time.
Way. He turned the wrong way.
I mean, that's not important. Where else is he going to turn? He has to turn away from the end line, Roger.
Yes, the turning circle is so big that he needed to make sure he stayed on the pitch.
He was about to start beeping. He was.
He had all the time to reverse like a truck and beep, and then look for Zlatan, put it on, because that didn't actually move. He just jumped up in the air and nodded it. Put it right on his head. Beautiful cross, beautiful assist, but what a header.
Yeah.
It was outstanding.
Harder than a shot.
Roche, to your point about Zlatan and conserving energy, I noticed that too. Like, there was a point at which the ball went out, and I think the ball was out for a throw or a corner or something for quite a long time, like 40 seconds or something. And Zlatan literally did not move from the time the ball went out to when the corner was taken. He was already in the penalty area. He didn't, like, take up another position, just stood exactly still, wasted no energy.
Doesn't it take more energy to stand exactly still than to walk around a little bit? Especially if you're, you know, keeping yourself warm.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not about to guess some science. But the other thing I noticed about United was that Shaw and Valencia were absolutely outstanding.
Yep, it's been that way since preseason. And Shaw we expect to be outstanding, okay? Every time we talk about Antonio Valencia, it seems like we talk about it in surprise. Like, oh my God, Valencia was amazing! Which we haven't said for, like, what, four years? Since he had like number seven kit?
We say that pretty regularly.
But Antonio Valencia was fantastic. And so fantastic that Ander Herrera decided to say the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time, which is that I call him Dani Alves. Wow. Antonio Valencia is maybe the best right back in the world, just behind Dani Alves.
Crickets. Everywhere.
That's how this feels.
But you know what? To be fair, we've talked about right backs and left backs in the world, and we tried to name who the last couple were, outstanding wing backs. Not many.
There aren't many outstanding candidates. Calling Valencia, I mean, I think he probably makes it into the top 10. But, top 5, maybe.
But
maybe.
Is that a condemnation of the players in that position, or is that he is that good?
Probably the former. But, anyway, he's doing everything he's being asked to do so far.
He's extremely strong, and he scares people. And I think that's the strongest part of his game.
His stiff arm game is amazing. He runs and then moves you out of the way, and then goes and crosses the ball, which is fantastic. But staying on the game, there were a couple things that stood out to me. Second half, United were a lot better.
Yes.
A lot better. Pogba, like we said, grew into it. He was beating men left and right. He's so strong and so skillful. That's going to be amazing for United. Marouane Fellaini.
Excellent.
A reformed man.
Apparently it took a phone call from Jose the day after Jose signed and said, "You're going to be important to me." Sounds like what he did to John Terry when they won the league.
Yeah.
But
I think Fellaini probably needed that phone call more than John Terry. But yeah, Fellaini was excellent. And another person that also looks like a tree that I thought played very well, Virgil van Dijk, impresses me every time I see him.
Yes, he is quite a thug. Yeah,
he is. He seems like a good defender that a team who needs a defender should actually sign.
He's an elegant defender. Like, he's got some silky skills.
Yeah, he does.
At one point, he was actually Southampton's main point of attack.
Speaking of silky skills at the back, Daley Blind performed admirably again.
Yes, he did.
To the point
you
that Chris Smalling can't get into the team.
Apparently. You know why? Because he had Eric Bailly next to him. Bailly?
Bailly.
Bailly. Okay, so the commentator was saying Bailly. Idiot.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Quite.
Was anyway. It Graham
It could have been. But the point is, I think having Bailly in the back really makes that defensive line look extremely strong, because he is a monster. He's so strong and he will kill you.
You know what's annoying about
if you have Valencia and Bailly at the back.
Yeah, I mean it's a lethal partnership. But what's really annoying about Bailly as an Arsenal fan is that's who Villarreal bought to replace Gabriel.
Anyway, that is terrible.
United were excellent. They look really good at the moment. Southampton seem to be struggling to find. They got a new manager in, and they're struggling to kind of work out a new system. They're playing this like diamond thing. I think they'll be all right, but it's taken them a while.
I agree with that. I think they will be all right.
they will be all right if they can find a striker.
Yeah,
before the end of this window, I feel, because they wasted. Granted, United played very well, but Southampton missed a lot of good opportunities.
I think Shane Long just had an off day. He will score. He just had an off day.
I don't. So the thing with Shane Long is he's a pest. That's the player that he is. He will get maybe 5, 6, 7 goals a season. But he won't be that guy who's going to be a Pella, like when Pella was on form. Southampton's going to get you more than 10. That's what they need. They need someone else to play either with or long come off the
like
bench
a
for.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, at the moment, they're playing Redmond up front, which is not a long-term solution.
Not at all.
Anyway, just before we move on from Manchester United, Roche, you learned Henrik Mkhitaryan's middle name.
Yes, it is.
What is it?
Hamlet.
I just wanted to get that in. I think
so
that's great.
Is like to play or not to play him. That is a question.
Exactly.
Yeah, quite. And he is having that dilemma, to be fair.
He is.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the champions, Leicester City, and the haven't been champions in 12 years, Arsenal. Who saw this game? Anyone?
Complete shambles, just introducing that game.
Well, we're going to be nice to Arsenal today, because Roche's calling it complete shambles because he hates Arsenal.
No, it's a shambles calling, Leicester City... current champions.
Oh, that. Yes.
Arsenal haven't been champions in 12 years. What is happening?
That is actually shambolic if you think about it. The game itself was the complete opposite of shambles, because Arsenal were defensively resolute. And Leicester were the same as they always are. you know, two banks of four, counterattack, so they were defensively solid as well. So nothing much happened in this game.
So Wenger doesn't go and buy anybody.
Absolutely.
Yes. But I think the fans gave him some specific instructions, did they not?
Sort of.
I think we should listen to that.
We should.
Some pretty clear instructions from Arsenal fans there, who were angry, obviously, because the club hasn't signed a striker and a centre-back, but also because this week, Arsenal decided to loan out Joel Campbell, who was actually one of the better players from last season, and who, despite doing everything to get a chance in the first team, seems to be not given one, even though players like Walcott and Oxlade-Chamberlain, who have had hundreds of chances, keep getting them.
Well, he's definitely, on at least on the form that we saw last season, better than Walcott.
Yes.
Hands down. That's no argument. Better than Oxlade-Chamberlain. And that might not be Oxlade-Chamberlain's fault in the case of, well, Walcott is his goddamn fault. But he showed so much heart, so much determination. Actually won you a couple games with his performances. Now he's been shipped off on loan to Sporting Lisbon. I don't think he wants to come back to Arsenal, and I wouldn't blame him.
Nor would I. And what seems odd to me is, if you don't believe in him, then sell him outright. Mm-hmm. If you do believe, like, if you, I don't understand why loaning him out, like, it essentially what it's saying is, you might have enough talent to play for us, mm-hmm. so we're not going to let you go completely. But if you feel that way, why don't you let him contribute? Because we know he can.
That's
weird.
A very, very good point to bring up. And to be fair, Arsenal's transfer business, there are many details about it that, you know, we won't get into right now. But ultimately, they're running efficiently. However, the fans want more. That's the bottom line. The fans want more. So there's a discrepancy between what the club is doing and what the fans want.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a bit like what we've been saying. Arsenal should be, if you think of the name Arsenal and what we used to know, they should be challenging for the Champions League. That's the type of club, that the size, the name, the amount of fans they have. But there doesn't seem to be that determination to go that far. And the fans expect that. I'm not so sure if the management has the same expectation for whatever reason, and that's why you hear chants like that.
Exactly.
To be fair, I mean, 5 or 6 years in a row, in the round of 16 in the quarterfinals, they were drawing like Barcelona 2 years in a row, Bayern Munich 2 years in a row. Had they not had that, they would have been
in
the quarters.
But part of that was because they were finishing second in the group.
Correct.
That they probably should have won. So if they had spent that money then, maybe they'd be first in those groups and doing better things.
Also a valid point, yes.
But we are actually in a fortunate position. Because we have some behind-the-scenes audio from Arsenal, from the Arsenal game this week. So, as everyone knows, Laurent Koscielny was brought back in early from his Euro rest to partner Rob Holding in defence. And, you know, you think about what a senior player like that would say to a young player just coming into the team, second Premier League game, and we actually have the audio of what Koscielny said to Holding, so let's listen to that.
You're not alone. Together we stand. I'll be by your side. You know I'll take your hand. When it gets cold and it feels like the end, there's no place to go. You know I won't give in.
So some fascinating insight there, I think.
I think it's good. I think that's the good comforting words.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
He's there for his man. He's
sounds just like him.
Yeah.
Very reassuring. But the other kind of inside info that we're privileged to get is, a lot of people wonder what influence Steve Bould has and what he says to Arsene Wenger. And so about 70 minutes is when Arsene tends to make the changes, and he was wondering what he should do and whether he should keep young Rob Holding on. And this is what Steve Bould told him. More fascinating insight into the world of Arsenal.
Steve Bould really sounds like Avril Lavigne.
It's odd, really.
He's been taking a lot of testosterone supplements, that's why his voice is really high.
Didn't Clou Touré do that?
Yes, actually, yeah.
Oh, isn't it estrogen?
Allegedly. Estrogen. Yes.
Allegedly?
Allegedly.
I thought that's... Oh, okay.
That's a hormone.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, Bernie, you wanted to talk about Ahmed Musa.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're talking about this stuff, but there actually a game happened, even though it was pretty boring.
Yeah.
And the only thing worth anything in the game was when Ahmed Musa came on. That's not because he's Nigerian, okay? We know that. And I love my Nigerian people. We won bronze in the Olympics, yay. But Ahmed Musa came on and absolutely... Thank you, guys. Tor... What's his name?
That was easy.
That's the answer to next week's quiz question. But he tore Hector Bellerin a new a-hole.
Who is also a very fast player.
Yes.
But Musa is incredibly fast.
Musa has to be faster than Bellerin.
What was the moment that changed the world?
Well,
it was when he took on Mascherano.
Oh, yes. In the preseason. That was when everyone took notice. But he did that to Mascherano before in the World Cup as well. But that's a different thing. So, he comes on, ruins Bellerin for pace the first time. The second time, he ruins him and then does his silky skill, gets past him, and Bellerin, like an idiot, runs into the back of him in the penalty box. Should have been a penalty. Stonewall penalty. Klattenberg, fresh off, you know, the best summer of his life, reffing Euro final, Champions League final, FA Cup final, makes a dumbass decision and does not give the penalty.
In a purple shirt, no less.
He had to cover his hands because he has the tattoos on the badges. Of the FA Cup,
Euro
final, and the Champions League final.
Really?
He has the tattoos on his arms.
Well, that's just something, isn't it? I mean, I didn't know that Mark Klattenberg was allowed to do this.
No, I didn't know that either. But that was terrible, and Leicester were robbed, in my opinion. And that would have been a worse... would have been catastrophic for Arsenal this season, two losses in a row.
What happened to Howard Webb? He's, in my eyes, Howard Webb is still the best referee.
Isn't he done? No,
he's the fourth referee.
He retired
now.
From Manchester United 2 years ago.
Very good. All right, that is enough of Leicester or Arsenal. Let's go to two London clubs managed by Italians that don't like each other. Watford and Walter Mazzarri, and Chelsea, Antonio Conte.
Well, what's their beef?
Their beef stems from when they were managing Napoli and Juventus, respectively, and they were going for the title. Just standard title challenger beef
kind of thing.
Anyway, so Mazzarri was 1-0 up, Watford were 1-0 up for most of this game, and he would have absolutely loved to win it, but Chelsea came back.
That was some very Kevin Keegan in you.
Love it. Absolutely love it. But yeah, Chelsea came back, won the game 2-1. Conte went to his plan B, Michy Batshuayi.
I mean,
very good player.
Yes, that's absolute great plan B. But what really was the plan B was Cesc Fabregas. Fabregas came on, completely changed the game.
True.
Absolute great performance. His first pass to Hazard. Well, Hazard, then Hazard shot, and then it went the Batshuayi. Thank you, Batshuayi. Came in with the rebound, scored. The next pass to Diego Costa was world class. So completely split open the defense with that. Yeah. And Costa, I thought he messed it up. But then he scored.
It was Aurelio Gomez, to be fair, the goalkeeper.
That is a good point.
Yes.
Quite. Gomez, what a garbage goalkeeper. Can someone just take a moment to pause and appreciate how crappy he is?
He wasn't that bad last season, but he just has these moments of
he has too many of them.
Wow. Within the same 5-minute spell, he could make some world-class saves and a world-class blunder.
Well, that's how they scored Chelsea for the first goal. Hazard shot, and he bundled it into Batshuayi.
It's true.
So, and with 5 minutes later, or whatever it was, they scored the winning goal. And funny enough, 87th minute, Diego Costa scores the winning goal. He did the same thing in the opening game, 87th minute, scored the winning goal. And he should not have been on the pitch this time, the same way he shouldn't have been on the pitch last time.
Yep.
I'd give him a red card for his beard.
I mean, Arsene Wenger said it last season, and I agreed then and I agree now. I don't understand how he keeps getting away with this stuff. Nevertheless, I have two questions for you both.
Mm-hmm.
One is the key to getting the best out of Cesc Fabregas letting everyone else get tired first?
Yes.
Second question, does Diego Costa play better in his front two? Because the last 2 weeks he's had Batshuayi on as a partner and suddenly scored a goal.
Is this for extra points?
No.
Ah.
I have a question that could be for extra points.
You don't get to decide
who's
that.
Who's in worse shape? Cesc Fabregas, Higuain, or Wayne Rooney?
Wayne Rooney.
Wait, I can answer that question. Because you know who else was playing in this game?
Who?
Troy Bathtub Deeney.
Never mind.
No, but he's in great shape. He's so jacked.
He's the size of four men.
Dude, have you seen his head? His head is in no shape.
Can you imagine him and Akinfenwa as a strike partnership?
That's not a good shape. I'm sorry. That's not a good shape.
They could bring down any wall.
Grade A beef. Right. So that's Watford, Chelsea. Do you guys think that Chelsea are title contenders?
I think that, you know, lacking European competition this season, they have less competitions to focus on. The squad's definitely, you know, getting motivated with Conte.
Absolutely not.
I think there is a chance that they're there.
I think they're top four contenders. I think they'll get into the top four, but their defense is trash. Their midfield, I mean, Oscar is not it. Cesc Fabregas is not fit.
This is on the record.
Hazard is, you know, I think Hazard's going to be good this season, but not as good as he used to be. Batshuayi, we'll see. Diego Costa, please get rid
of Alex. Let's be fair. It's anyone's league. Leicester won it last year. Liverpool looked really good after the first game, and then, you know, we're going to get to that shortly.
We'll get to Liverpool. We'll get to Liverpool. But no, they didn't. Anyway.
Well, 4 goals in 15 minutes.
Yeah, and they let in 3 against that shambles of an Arsenal without Ozil, Giroud, and Koscielny didn't play. Like,
all right, let's talk about a team that for a large part of last season were title contenders.
Burnley.
Tottenham.
Burnley did win their title, didn't they?
What title?
The championship.
Oh, they did?
I think so, didn't
was
they?
Was it them?
I think so.
It was them.
Yeah. Spurs played Crystal Palace, who are rubbish.
Who just signed Benteke.
They did. But so here's my thing. I watched this game, and
of course
Crystal Palace, yay. Crystal Palace... they don't create chances.
No. They don't. That they do, they mess it up.
Yeah, but they don't cross the ball, they don't really pass it very well, they don't create chances, so...
Sounds like a Van Gaal team.
Really. A little bit. But you can buy 30 million's worth of striker, but if you can't get him the ball, what's the point?
Well, here's the funny thing about Crystal Palace. They hired Alan Pardew, right? And then the first, 6 months? Fantastic. Then, after that, complete dross. That is the Alan Pardew blueprint. He comes into a club, you know, and you're like, man, you know what? Pardew's doing really well. But then you hear a rumbling of Pardew for England. And then all of a sudden, the team goes into complete shambles. And then you remember, never mind. Like, that is Crystal Palace, and that is Alan Pardew.
But that is the English way.
That's the Alan Pardew way, that's for sure.
All right, yeah. So here's my question for this
game.
Here
comes Alex.
Do you think Pardew lasts the season? Because personally, I'm not sure he does.
Yes, because he won't get relegated.
I say no because Aldaz gets sacked and Pardew for England.
All right. Just quickly on Spurs. Didn't play their best, but probably deserved the win. Pochettino started with Kane and Janssen in this game. Interesting.
There's nothing about Spurs that I find interesting.
Not like it made a big difference, yeah.
Okay.
They're not going to make top four, so this, whatever.
Yeah, he said that last week. We'll see.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I did?
Yeah.
Good, I did.
And I told you to stop predicting things. Right, let's talk about the game that Roche wanted to talk about. Burnley 2, Liverpool 0.
Yes. Surprising, to say the least.
I wasn't surprised.
Surprising yet not surprising.
Well, 81% possession.
And they did nothing with it.
And they conceded 2 goals.
Coutinho shot goals. From wherever he wanted to. He didn't give a damn. He just kept shooting and shooting and shooting and nothing happened with
He'd be a great American.
He would.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate because, you know, in my fantasy team, I'm going to put that out there, that I actually selected Coutinho.
Oh, sorry.
In my midfield. I selected him over Nolito.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, you sad son. Oh, I'm yes, so sorry for
I know, right? Never trust a Liverpool
player. Do you
have
that time?
Yes, I do. Okay, that's
good.
My captain.
Good man. Good
actually.
Man. But well, Liverpool, this is Liverpool for me. This is why it's not surprising. Yet surprising. They go and beat Arsenal away from home and give Wenger a lot to worry about. And then they come to Burnley, who they should beat.
Crunch.
And then they lose. This is what Liverpool do. This is why Liverpool cannot have nice things. There are no nice things in the city of Liverpool because of things like this. That is why.
Here's the other thing, too, that perplexes me. And why I don't buy into the Klopp thing particularly. Because he has one way of playing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really include defending very well.
Mm-hmm.
And if the one way doesn't work, there really doesn't seem to be anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Benteke could have been a kind of plan B, but mm-hmm. he got rid of him. But the other thing is, like, he spent the week defending Albert Moreno.
And who was dropped.
And then dropped him.
But dropped him to play James Milner as his left back.
Yes.
Now, what kind of stupid idea is that?
I don't know, but you have Wijnaldum. Well, to be fair, Mane got injured. And you have Lallana. And you have... How many other attacking midfielders do they have?
Coutinho,
Firmino.
I just thought of a new section for the podcast. Roche's pronunciation of Wijnaldum.
Wijnaldum, Wenger, who else?
Anyway.
Shambles.
But yeah, you're right. They do have this collection of attacking midfielders, and yet the defence is still not sorted out.
But Burnley keeping a clean sheet.
Yeah.
That in itself is outrageous. You'd expect them to at least get a goal.
I mean, sure.
You conceded 2 goals. 2 good goals, might I add. Burnley played well for those.
They played very well.
But you expect them to at least score 1. I mean, come on.
Daniel Sturridge was poor. He was poor. And if he's going to be poor, then it's a problem.
Did he have both legs? Or?
I'm not sure. I think he was hopping around on one.
So essentially, they've done exactly what they did in preseason, which is beat Barcelona 4-0
and
lose to Mainz 4-0.
Yes. So the 2 Burnley goals were fantastic. The only downside was that Andre Gray scored a fantastic goal, and then people found on his Twitter that he'd made really homophobic comments in 2012. Unfortunately.
I'm just saying, if you're going to become a professional football player, delete your Twitter account and start again.
Yes.
Just pretend like you just got on Twitter now.
There must be like an Autobot looking through his history and finding these things. Because this is like 2011.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, let's go to a club who deleted their history and started again. Sort of, in that Everton deleted Roberto Martinez.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about
Man City. Would have been a better link. But Everton beat West Brom 2-1, which I think we can all agree is for the good of mankind.
Because the sooner Pulis gets sacked,
the better.
Nope. Oh, okay, yes. I'll just say I like Darren Fletcher and Johnny Evans. So.
What's wrong with Pulis?
Have you watched West Brom play?
They're really bad to watch.
It's a typical Pulis team.
It's horrendous.
The thing is, if you had said this with Roberto Martinez as manager of Everton, I would have sided with Tony Pulis.
Sure, because Martinez is slightly more annoying.
Shifty bugger.
Whereas Martinez is like a fantasist, but Pulis is so pragmatic that he can't bring himself to like string three passes together.
This is a changed Everton side, might we add.
It is. Yeah. But Lukaku's staying, apparently.
Balassi made his debut.
Yeah, how was he?
He looked alright. He only played like 15-20 minutes.
He is the same Balassi.
God, I don't like Balassi. He's a waste of space, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure. Morales scored an excellent goal, as he does once in a while. But the only thing I really wanted to comment on was Pulis was in a full tracksuit, sneakers, hat, and his assistant was in like a shabby sweater and shorts. Are they the worst dress management team in the league?
Is the ugly sweater at Christmas thing come early? Oh my god, they must be the worst dressed. Absolutely.
I vote for yes.
Pulis is a bit of a moo-moo.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, who are the people in the hat brigade? It's Klopp and Pulis, and there's one more guy. I can't remember who it is.
I don't know.
For now, it's those two. Yeah. And Pulis...
I think Sean Dyche once in a while.
Oh, Sean Dyche.
Alright, next. Swansea against Hull. I literally just have in my notes, unbelievable, Jeff.
Yeah, because Hull won this game?
Yeah, 2-2.
That's my feeling's going to get the job, isn't he?
Hull for the league this year?
I'm feeling it.
Please no.
They beat the champions last year.
I don't need that in my life. Please no.
Fair enough. Stoke 1, Manchester City 4. City look really good.
Too good. They won, 5-0 and missed two penalties 3 days yes. before this game.
They look really good. And they look really suspect.
I'll tell you why.
There was a penalty, right, yes. that they conceded. And obviously, what's their face? Still conceded a penalty. The same penalty in that there was holding in the box. And I don't mean Rob. But the thing that was crazy was City should have conceded another penalty.
Yes, early in
and
the game.
And that one was a better shout than the one that they got, which could have changed the whole game. This is what I'm saying. Yes, they beat them 4-1. They did a great job, played well. But they are very, very suspect right now. But it's the first two games of the season, so they probably can be suspect right
and
now.
And the first time that Stones and Otamendi have ever played together.
And Stones was great, apparently.
Yeah. And they still have a shocking goalkeeper at the back. I mean, I don't think Joe Hart is any good, but Caballero is just rubbish.
It's almost like he didn't expect to be playing.
I don't think he did. Yeah.
No, not at all.
But Aguero got 2, Nolito got 2. Fair play to Aguero for missing 2 penalties in the previous game and then coming and scoring 1 this weekend.
He still scored a hat trick even though he missed 2.
Very impressive.
Yeah. What?
I
hope he's on your fantasy team.
He isn't.
Aguero?
My front three is awful. It's Harry Kane,
of course it is your Spurs fan.
Ahmed Musa.
Wow.
And Igalo.
Why do you even play fantasy football?
It's not even that bad.
It's not that bad on paper. They just haven't done anything.
No, Igalo hasn't scored a goal in 5 months. Ape Musa is new. And he has Harry Kane, who has like, he came off the worst period of his career in the summer and has no confidence.
Bernie, I have 2 Nigerians. I thought you'd be happy.
Listen, in fantasy, national pride goes out the window.
All right. Yeah. Someone else whose pride has gone out the window. David Moyes took over at Sunderland, hasn't won a game yet. Lost 2-1 to newly promoted Middlesbrough, who actually looked pretty good.
Yeah. The only good thing about this game is that Patrick Van Aanholt scored, and he is on my team.
Well, here's the thing. The first half, Middlesbrough blew them out the park. They were absolutely fantastic. Negredo was brilliant.
What a hit from Stuani.
Honestly.
2 hits.
And the second goal, the interplay for that was spectacular.
Mm.
But here's the thing. I'm reading a lot about people being like, Sunderland are miserable in this. Second half, Sunderland played very, very well.
They did.
Leading up to that goal, they played outstanding football. And this is all relative, right? So it's all about Middlesbrough and Sunderland. But they played so well. And I thought, If they play that way the whole season, they will be fine. If they play the way they played against City, they will be fine. So maybe Moyes isn't doing so terrible a job. It's just he's doing that kind of almost, I'm almost good, but I'm kind of crap.
2 games into the season, I'm sure they'll pick it up.
Yeah, but he has, to be fair, warned the fans to expect a relegation battle, which I think is fair enough.
That's setting the bar low. And he can do that at this club.
Oh, and he does it all the time.
Yes, he does, yes.
Meanwhile,
he's a specialist.
In contrast, Aitor Karanka, I think, gives the feeling of confidence.
Just by looking at you?
No, just
it's
he
a
just
Spanish
looks.
Suave.
Well, I think also like he wears a suit. It helps, you know.
But Moyes wore a suit,
and he doesn't now.
I don't like the tie. The red and white. It just looks ridiculous sometimes.
All right. Finally, mm-hmm. West Ham 1, Bournemouth 0. Antonio scoring, because last week Bilic played him at right back mm-hmm. and he conceded a penalty. Mm-hmm. This week he played him in the front three as he should, and he scores a goal.
The thing for me in this game was, I was watching the game, but I wasn't watching the game because I was looking at that the space between the sideline and the fans, the running track, and it was bothering me. I couldn't get, it was just weird.
Running tracks are moo-moo, which is a good sign that we should go to moo-moo of the week.
I be moo-moo. One thing we are no sha, moo-moo no fit sleep forever. One day, moo-moo go wake up.
Our first moo-moo this week is Christian Benteke.
Who's joining Crystal Palace?
Sort of, yeah. He was trying to announce his transfer, and he declared his excitement at signing for Burnley initially, which was the wrong club. And
I mean, really?
Yeah, but the way he tried to save his face was to say that the person managing his Twitter account had made a mistake, and it had now been rectified.
Wow, he really threw him under the bus.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think Twitter is there for someone to manage your account.
Wow.
I don't know. In most footballers' cases, it's probably advisable, but clearly not in this one.
Did he want to go to Burnley, maybe?
I think he just wanted to go away from Liverpool.
Yeah. Well, that's true. All right, next we have... I don't know if anyone saw this, but there's an Arsenal fan who has made a name for himself by buying a Mahrez shirt, like an Arsenal shirt with Mahrez printed on the back, well before anything had actually happened with Mahrez, which turned out to be nothing. And then when Mahrez renewed his Leicester contract, this fan made a public declaration about giving it away to charity.
Being an Arsenal fan, he should have known better.
Well, the two things about this that strike me was, A, he got the name Mahrez on the shirt, which was stupid. Then he got the number 26, as if he knew that that was the number he was going to take. I don't understand what is going on in his head.
Was that the empty squad number, perhaps?
Maybe he did some research.
This reminds me of the time the City fan tattooed Rooney City Legend.
Yes. That is worse.
On his back.
That is worse.
Yeah, but that's permanent.
Question, who took Rosicky's number 7?
I don't know.
Was it Walcott?
God help us.
I don't even want to countenance that.
But our final moo-moo of this week comes from Germany, the fifth tier in Germany. So I'm not sure what position this particular person is at this club, but he had... autographed, I think, pictures of Manuel Neuer, Pep Guardiola, and Jurgen Klopp. So he had the pictures in the picture frame, and they've been autographed by these people. The janitor was doing his job and saw, you know, these pictures and said, these gross squiggly marks are on this picture. Let me clean it and do a good job for this guy. And wiped off the autographs. Now, my question really is, how disgusting must these signatures look? Well, like, must they just look like crap that someone decided, I'm going to wipe them off?
Maybe. I mean, signatures never look good.
This must have been some sort of revenge. This has to be.
Amateur revenge.
This has to be.
Maybe he works for a terrible employer.
Yeah, maybe it was he didn't get his paycheck on time and thought, you know what, forget this.
It's quite possible.
Well, he's made it into Moo Moo, so he's done something well.
I be Moo Moo.
We go now to Italy, where Serie A had its opening weekend, and there is some exciting stuff to talk about. For a start, Vincenzo Montella took over at Milan this summer. This was his first game, competitive game in charge, and he beat Mihailovic's Torino 3-2. Interesting, because Mihailovic was Milan manager last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, Carlos Bacca got a hat-trick, which is why West Ham wanted to sign him.
Carlos Bacca's a good striker.
Yeah.
Like, he's I don't know why he went to Milan. That was stupid in the first place. But he's doing a good job right now. And like you said, Mihajlović didn't even understand why he was sacked and getting beaten by that team. He must feel really, really bad for himself.
It's true. Not only that, but Donnarumma, the, what is he, 17 now? 18?
Yeah, 17.
In Milan's goal, saved a last-minute penalty to keep the score at
3-2. What a save it was. It was a great save.
It was magnificent.
What can I say? It was great.
Mihajlović took it in good stride, though.
He did, he laughed.
He said, if I knew he was going to do that, I wouldn't have given him his debut last year. So I thought that was funny.
To be fair, Carlos Bacca is lethal. He scored about 20 goals and 39 shots.
What? Jesus.
That is a stat.
Hold on.
Yes.
Last season?
This, well, his last 39 shots was 20 goals.
Huh. That is an outstanding statistic. Yes, I can't even believe that.
But it does make sense because he plays in the Serie A where chances are less.
Yeah, but to score that many goals from those few number of shots is unbelievable.
He hits the back of the net.
Wow.
Maybe all from the 6-yard box, you never know.
Wow, I am thoroughly impressed by that.
Someone I'm not impressed by, Frank de Boer. Or is Graham Lesser.
Who was it?
It's Frank de Boer, who took over at Inter Milan recently and promptly lost 2-0 to Chievo.
But why?
Why did he take over, or why did they lose?
Everything. Everything to do with Inter Milan is a big question.
Everything is wrong. Mancini leaving, De Boer coming in.
Them signing five holding midfielders.
They made a few statements of intents. They set Icardi's release clause at 110 million euros now. It was 100 last week, and now it's 110 million. It's almost like, you know,
it goes up each week.
But is Icardi even that good?
No, it's just that Inter are that bad. They cannot afford to lose their players.
That's really funny. There's actually a guy that we follow on Twitter, and to be honest, I'm not sure why, because the only thing he tweets every day is an Inter fan. The only thing he tweets every day is that there are expected to be developments with Inter's bid for João Mario. And he's tweeted this like every day all summer, and there are never any developments.
But is João Mario even that good? This is my problem with Inter.
No, he's not.
They have these new... I believe they are Chinese owners now, because I forget, Torreira sold the club, and they're supposed to be investing in this club. I haven't seen that investment. Same thing with AC Milan. But and what? You decide with the little investment you have to buy another holding midfielder. I don't understand this football club whatsoever.
It's bizarre.
They're not doing well right now.
Pescara held Napoli 2-2.
Yeah.
Sassuolo off to a winning start, 1-0. They're in the Europa League this year. That'll be fun to watch.
Is Berardi still there?
Yeah, he's doing really well.
That's good.
And then the big boys, Roma, 4-0 over Udinese.
Yeah. Very good right back who was in Torino last season, who we saw live. Yes, who we saw live, is now playing for Roma, and he's doing a good job so far.
Bruno Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic signing. I mean, we watched him live, Roche, at the time you thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he stood out. You know, you're watching it from the stands, and you can see the game with your own eyes. You don't have a television bias, and you can see the player movement, and Bruno Perez is a very exciting player to watch.
Sorry, funny enough, you said television bias, and I know it's a side note. I thought to myself,
yes.
Is it better to analyze a player in person or on TV?
Yes, because you don't have a bias in the opinion given to you by the commentator and the image that you are forced to see.
But what if you look away?
Well, think about it this way. We always say, how does Diego Costa get away with all of this?
Mm-hmm.
But we have to take into consideration, the camera is always looking at him when he's angry.
Mm-hmm.
And the commentator is always saying, oh, look at what Costa got away this time.
So you're saying that other players may be doing similar thing, just that the camera's not on them?
Sure, maybe Costa's a little more vocal, but like, I mean, you know, you're physically making contact with a player every couple of seconds in a game. So,
that is a good point.
Staying on this game, we saw the best penalty we'll probably see this season from, what's his name?
Oh, Perotti.
Yes. The first one, okay, he took two and scored. They were both very different. The first one was the most thug life savage thing I have ever seen. He walked up to that ball in slow motion, and the goalkeeper was done.
Yeah. If there was a dress code for that penalty, it was super casual.
It was flip-flops at the beach. That was unbelievable.
It was one of those penalties where, as he's walking up to the penalty, as a viewer, you are beaten by the penalty.
Yes. Yes.
It's only happened to me once before, and that was when Eto stood to take a penalty against Tottenham in the 4-3, when Gareth Bale scored his hat-trick.
Your memory sometimes astounds me.
It's unbelievable.
It's because that penalty stuck out so much.
Oh my goodness.
But just on the point about whether it's better to analyse people live, it just occurred to me also that when you do it live, you see them off the ball.
Mm.
Whereas on TV, you see them generally on the ball or if they're close to the person that has it.
Well, the problem with watching them live and seeing it off the ball is if you look off the ball, you've missed something.
Granted, else, but right? Like if you just pay attention to someone for a few minutes, you get a much better idea of how they move and what have you.
Well, that and the system, the shift, the whole team together.
Well, Roma always have a soft spot in our hearts because of watching them live in Europe and Totti scoring two goals in the last two minutes of the game.
Yes.
So we talk a lot about Roma when we get to Serie A because of our love for them.
Right? Yes. And they are in contention for the title this season, or should be.
At least for this week.
Well, yes. Juventus are winning the title. I said this last season.
I think the Serie A should be this. You give the title to Juventus
at the beginning,
and then the trophy should be how many points? Like that should be their challenge. What's the point gap?
Yeah,
fair enough. Juventus obviously won this week.
The title, yeah.
By beating Fiorentina 2-1. Dani Alves started, Higuain on the bench, possibly because the crane wasn't in position to lift him off the bench yet. But he scored the winner.
He did.
Looking a lot like Troy Deeney.
I mean, the first goal was scored by Khedira, who was also on fit.
A very good goal, by the way.
Really? I didn't think he had it.
He ran into it.
I couldn't believe he could run. Khedira, I didn't think he had legs to
run. But it's because it's also the Italian league where, it's played a little slower.
Mm-hmm. So you can... Is that why they're interested in signing Bastian Schweinsteiger?
Possibly. So a player who actually goes for an actual run looks like he's really fast. That's why Patrice Evra is still playing that.
They actually have one of the oldest back lines you'll ever see. With Alves, who's like 34.
Yeah.
Evra is like 35.
Barzagli is 52.
Yeah, and then Bonucci and Chiellini are both in their 30s.
They're in their 30s.
And then Buffon is a dinosaur at this point. So they have the oldest defense, but the best defense you probably ever
seen. Is it that the Italians mature as they age?
Like fine wines?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
But the other thing is, they've got that back three, right? And then they've got Mehdi Benatia, who's like one of Europe's best centre-backs, just chilling as a sub.
But he left Bayern Munich as a sub to go chill on the Italian bench. So change of scenery.
It's about the sub life.
Drew.
Richer's a big fan of a sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like the sub life?
A sub. Yeah. What am I supposed to say to that?
Yeah. All right. The only other thing to mention from this game is that for Fiorentina, Federico Chiesa started, and we can all guess who he is. Can't
he's
we?
The Enrico's son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's just exciting.
Yeah, I like Enrico.
Enough for Serie A. Why don't we go over to Spain and La Liga? Who wants to tell me about Sevilla 6, Espanyol 4?
10 goals, and when the highlighting editor was trying to put these highlights together, he had to allocate extra space for all the goals, and he couldn't show anything except for the goals. That's how this game was.
I'm frustrated because someone tells me, from a neutral standpoint, this is a great game. I'm like, why? The defending was utterly shambolic.
Who said that?
Well, Mohamed usually says stuff like this.
Right? Okay.
And Mohamed has no credibility whatsoever. The defending was shocking failures from both sides.
Players were jogging the ball in.
Like, this is why people will say La Liga is crap. But then those same teams will go beat some EPL team. I don't understand this.
Sevilla, obviously, the three-time UEFA Cup Europa League holder.
Yeah, now under Sampaoli.
Yes.
And Chile had a rigid defense. I don't understand what he's doing.
Well, the other thing is, Espanyol are now managed by Quique Sanchez Flores, who, if you remember, had Watford defending really well last season. So either he doesn't have the players or he's abandoned that philosophy.
A couple of paradigm shifts.
I don't know what's going on there, but
6-4. Sounds like a tennis set.
Sounds like corruption.
Yeah.
It does sound like corruption.
Possibly.
Another team that had an easy ride this week, Real Madrid, beating Real Sociedad 3-0.
I only remember Real Sociedad because Moyes managed them. Credit to them from a marketing perspective.
I remember them.
Let's be fair.
You know what? That's actually a really good point, because one of the reasons they hired him was because he would put them on the map.
Well, he did come in and say he was going to bring about a bunch of British players, which, thank God, he didn't.
Former British players and Phil Neville.
Right. Well, okay. But in this game, the thing that stood out to me was Real Madrid ascended thanks to Asensio.
Oh,
thank you very much. I was working on that while I was talking.
Yes, continue.
That was a little shame in that one. But Gareth Bale essentially leading the line.
Yeah.
Fantastic header to open it up. Then Asensio with magnificent
kick. Call it
criminal. Asensio's goal I don't know how he managed to get one-on-one with the goalkeeper from 40 yards out.
Well, by running.
Well, it was, it's criminal. Just if you look at the replay, how does a player get in that position in today's game?
Like the defending?
High terrible lines. Defending. Yeah, it was awful defending, but the chip was delicate. It was lovely.
And then Bale did a similar thing, except he just did. He ran at the keeper this time just to add some variety. Yeah. 3-0 win. They're rolling, and another team that's rolling is Barcelona.
Yes. This was an absolute thrashing. They beat Betis 6-2. Luis Enrique described it as a near-perfect performance, and, I mean, they were just irresistible.
What's the point of playing? What's the point of showing up to a game against Barcelona when they're on this form?
I don't know. Arda Turan got the first, and then Messi and Suarez just, shared the rest of the game.
Suarez scored a brilliant free kick, but there was another free kick in this game scored by the Betis player.
Castro, yeah.
Castro, that's right.
He actually got two.
He did get two, and his first free kick was actually, I'd say, one of the goals of the game.
Messi playing deeper, great performance. Arda Turan saving his career, maybe. The way he's been playing.
I don't know, he's playing on the Barcelona team, so if you see him for contention of the Ballon d'Or, I mean, he's playing on Barcelona.
Well, I'm just saying, Neymar's going to take his spot. Yes. We know that. So, but now, is he giving Enrique something to think about?
No.
By playing this way?
Not at all.
Okay. What he's making Luis Enrique think is, when I do need to rest Neymar, Arda might be able to do a decent job.
Right.
But the thing that I'm mostly impressed with about Luis Enrique and this Barcelona team is that Enrique's doing something that previous managers have not failed to do, but struggled to do, which is to refresh the team and revitalize it. And you look at players like Umtiti and Digne, Denis Suarez, Sergio Roberto is now ostensibly the starting right back. Mm. There's just a bit more young energy about the team.
Well, that's probably because he looked and he realized that La Masia was actually becoming a pure dross.
Dross.
And decided we need to sign all these players now.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the money, the how do you say, the point of this game, the pinnacle of
the
this
pinnacle,
game,
yeah.
Yes, was when Sergio Busquets goes running down the right wing, creating a dummy run for Messi.
Yeah, that never happens.
I'm sorry, wait 1 second. Did you just say Sergio Busquets ran?
Yes.
First, not even down the wing, he ran.
Into the right wing. Into
okay,
the corner.
Can you send me that clip? Because I have not seen that.
It was for one of the goals.
That's one of the most shocking things I've ever seen.
That's how unconcerned Busquets was about the safety of his own goal. Because usually that's all he does is protect it.
Messi had the ball. There we go.
Oh my god.
Alright.
Busquets might as well be in the stands sitting down when Messi has the ball.
Fair enough. You could say that Toronto FC's players could sit down when Jovinko has the ball. Why don't we talk about them?
Yes, please.
Alright. Bernie, you want to tell us about Toronto FC 3, Philadelphia Union 1?
On the
road. Wait. I would want to do that. I really do.
Mm.
But the thing is this. Roche has wanted to talk about this, so he's been bugging us all day. I think I should give Roche the honor of talking about this game and Giovinco's goal.
Gladly taken. I think that Giovinco and Altidor look really good. Altidor stepped up his game, by the way. But the first goal of this game was an outstanding goal. If you ever want to watch a highlights reel goal, you must watch the first goal of this game.
Mm-hmm.
The goalkeeper kicks it long, round one football style. Altidor chests it down.
Massive chest.
Yes. Someone else who's probably not that important on the TFC team. One time passes it into the path of Giovinco.
I think it was Osorio.
Yeah, whatever, Alex.
Wow.
The point is, the ball goes to Giovinco, who's running full speed, and he flicks the ball into his path without breaking stride.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable first touch. Takes one touch, two touch, you're watching this, and if you are watching it with a bag of popcorn in your hand, you're leaning closer to the TV and that popcorn is about to fall on the floor.
That's a great description,
man. I love it.
Right? And Giovinco just finishes it carpet style with his left foot. The ball does not leave the ground. It touches every blade of grass before hitting the post, the far post, coming across, just going inside the near post.
It looked like a trick shot.
So, Roche stupidly said, this was the goal of the season. Now, I have a question.
It's been two games. To be fair.
Well, not in MLS.
Well,
the goal that Giovinco scored from, you know, the route one, and then the ball's in the air, and then he flicked it one time.
That's exactly the goal I was just talking about.
No. This one involved a chest from Altidor, Osorio pass, and then he flicked it. But this was direct from the goalkeeper. And remember that the ball's in the air, and he takes it and spins the defender in one motion, and then puts it back. Was that this season or last season?
It was this season.
Okay.
It was earlier this season.
And you waxed lyrical about that too.
Yeah, you had so many good goals.
Alright, let's
anyway, the point is, this goal was so beautiful that you have to watch it. Anyway, the rest of the game was great and they won 3-1.
That was a lovely description by Roger, by the way. You should actually narrate some Discovery Channel stuff.
Or TFC's games. I mean, go for the commentary role.
Stay tuned on our YouTube channel for some videos coming up shortly.
Some Discovery Channel videos.
Wow. You wanted to talk about Altidore. Because he scored a great goal.
So Altidore gets a lot of flack from us, especially Mohamed, who we just said has no credibility whatsoever.
Yes.
But Altidore heard Mohamed's criticism. In the last couple of games he came on, he was actually just assisting goals. The last two games he has scored fantastic goals. The one before this from the corner,
the thunderous hit.
Unbelievable. And this one, he actually took on two or three players
and bullied them.
Yeah, bullied them, beat them, and then the little dink past the goalkeeper. Yes. Fantastic. Altidore and Giovinco, like you said, Roche, fantastic partnership. Could be the best partnership in MLS. Toronto FC are second in the East on an amazing 8-game unbeaten run, I believe it is.
Yes.
We could be in for a wonderful
second year. With a game in hand. And a point behind, by the way.
A point behind. And the other thing I wanted to point out is that New York City FC, who are top, have a goal difference of 1. They're winning games, but they're conceding a lot of goals. TFC, goal difference of 11. They're the better team.
Which is really good, yeah.
Really quick, because we are running out of time. Someone tell me. Okay, the Olympics, Brazil won.
Sure.
They beat Germany in the penalty shootout. Shocking, because Germany don't lose penalty shootouts. But
correct.
Props to Brazil for winning that. Neymar scored the final penalty. I mean, he's not a selfish get taking the final penalty and scoring the goal, but that's just my personal beef. Now, Nigeria came third. I have to say that. Bronze medal.
John Obi Mikel, the ever green 23-year-old.
In the women's, Canada, we got the bronze.
Yes. Very good win.
That was fantastic.
Brazil. Against Brazil.
They must have felt really bad about it.
Yes. In penalties. In penalties, I believe. Was it penalties?
No, they won 2-1.
No, it wasn't penalties.
Yes, absolutely,
but
yes.
That was just a slap in the face to the Brazilian women, as far as I'm concerned. And the Brazilian women must have felt really crappy, like we said. And the men must have been nervous, because if the women lost that, right?
Yeah.
Then it becomes a shambles if the men lose. But props to Canada. Great Olympics by Canada in general.
Yes.
This time. So the women did us proud. And yeah, that's the Olympics as far as I'm concerned, because I don't care about the rest of it.
Yeah, no, that's the last we'll have to talk about.
It's a shame that the Canadian women lost to Germany in the semifinals.
It is a shame.
Because they beat them in the group stage 2-1.
I just don't like Germany, and plus I'm Canadian now, so.
Yeah.
I watched that game, though, and the better team did win on the day.
That's consecutive bronzes for Canadian women.
That, I mean, it shows that they're sustaining a good level.
There's just that one tier that they can't, well, obviously, because semifinals, but they can do it. It's just they need that last little push to get there.
And the other thing is that time may be running out. I mean, Christine Sinclair is not getting any younger.
She is the team.
And she's leading the team. So the question is, do they need her to progress? Or will the fact that she will be out of the picture in a while allow other players to develop and then they can progress?
They could be at the end of a cycle.
It's true. Maybe. We're at the end of a podcast. All right. So let's say goodbye, Roche.
Bye.
Bernie.
Bye.
And it's Eric Bertrand Bye from me too.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.